Hi, I'm Chris Kepler, and welcome to Does This Happen to You? I'm an actor, voice actor, audiobook narrator, and writer. I love telling and sharing stories about the strange experiences my friends and I have while doing mundane things like grocery shopping. That's why this podcast features funny stories from fantastic writers about our daily anomalies, a micro audiobook about life and befuddlement just for you. Our story this week is from author Beth Haslam. You'll find Beth at her website at www.bethhaslam.com and check out her book series on Amazon, Fat Dogs and French Estates. And here is Al Fresco in France. So what's been happening in our parts over the past few weeks? Lots, actually. The forest is wide awake and bursting with vigor. Apples and grapes are taking form in the orchards and vineyards, and sunflowers are beaming in the meadows. Then there's the wildlife. Young animals born just this season are playing trampoline on freshly cut grass or tag among the trees. The summer is a blissful time of year for us humans, too. Villages and towns are in full flow with markets and fetes, a regular feature here. Hustle, bustle, goods and produce, along with alluring aromas wafting from street food. Ooh, they're impossibly enticing. As was the invitation we received from our English pals, Pat and David. Pat is a super chef who really knows her onions when it comes to putting together a meal. She and David had invited us to supper, which we enthusiastically accepted. As usual, it was delicious, the crowning glory of which was Pat's Vietnamese wrap canapés. Succulent bundles flawlessly handcrafted using a variety of tempting fillings. They zinged off the palate, causing havoc to our taste buds. Such was the success of these little beauties, we pleaded with Pat to hold a master class at a later date. Word got round in the run-up to the evening. Numbers increased from a discreet 3 ladies to 4 couples. Except it didn't quite turn out like that. Being a nuts and bolts sort of chap, Jack, my husband, loftily refused to have anything to do with a cookery class. There again, he didn't want to pass up the chance to sample more of Pat's cuisine. Jack was stymied. His magnanimous solution to crack on with his latest engine repair and join us later was a sensible decision. I should know. I've seen him struggle in the kitchen. It was a sultry evening when I set off for their home. Hidden down a lane so secret it has grass growing down the middle, it nestles in a dip protected by woods and meadows. Dappled light filtered through the green canopy as I drove along. My destination lay ahead in a clearing. I squinted at the golden sun rays dazzling me on the rise to their gorgeous farmhouse. It was a small price to pay for visiting a haven like this. French, British, with the possible hint of Italian descent thrown in, our international crew of trainees turned up, each bearing homegrown produce and liquid gifts. True to their natures as consummate hosts, Pat and David welcomed us with warm hugs and glasses already filled with bubbly aperitifs. Pat being Pat, she had everything beautifully organized. Plates of ingredients filled with delicacies had been snipped to perfection and piled in expectant heaps. Empty plates lay ready for each pupil, along with several bowls of water. Might a ritual cleansing be required before we began? I wasn't sure, but we would soon find out. I should also mention that Pat's career included working as a cookery teacher at one of the UK's premier private schools. Unsurprisingly, her reputation as a highly skilled cook and child nurturer are the stuff of legend. We were directed to the terrace dining table where our class began. Instructions were issued, and a short demonstration was given. This solved the bowls of water mystery. All we had to do was soak a rice paper disc for a short time, remove, and then fill it with a mixture chosen from Pat's pre-prepared goodies. Next, fold in the edges to make a parcel, and voila, simple. We were off. It quickly became apparent that while Pat is a stellar chef, her pupils had much to learn in the art of building a Vietnamese wrap. There's definitely a knack to it. By the way, have you ever worked with rice paper? It's pesky stuff. Looking like an oversized contact lens, it is slippery and a tad slimy when wet. It's also prone to splitting, so must be handled with care. My first mistake was quantity control. Agonizing over choice, I stuffed loads in. Wrestling to get my clammy package closed, I quickly pinned the edges together. I then squished it, folds down on my plate, in the hope that it might glue together. It didn't. I stared miserably as my podgy mass gradually unraveled, ending up in an amorphous splurge of assorted morsels. "No, Beth, I'm afraid that won't do," observed Pat. "Good try, though. Have another go with fewer bits," she added encouragingly. Di, my sister, chortling on the sidelines at my pathetic attempts, experienced the opposite problem. Sensibly economic, she had used just 3 julienne-cut carrot matchsticks plus a sliver of cucumber. That didn't work either. It looked like a wacky-backy cigarette which wasn't worth the smoke. Meanwhile, another trainee was developing consistency complications. Something he'd done in the bowl was causing the rice paper rounds to lose their elasticity. Try as he might, and full marks, he was totally focused. The end results looked like flaccid slugs. Happily for Pat, in sharp contrast to us flounderers, one of the class quickly caught on. Fiendishly competitive, Jane transformed into a human production line, creating endless examples of what a Vietnamese wrap really should look like. Mind you, nobody likes a teacher's pet. As the rest of us blundered on with variously exploding, skinny or lax offerings, our labors were periodically punctuated with chirpy commentary. "What do you think of this one, Pat? I think it's my best yet." "Very good, Jane. Yes, that's another excellent one." Had it burst? Was it too skinny? No, no. It was a perfectly wrapped little parcel full of nicely selected gubbins. Suppressing a tut and making a mental note to ask Jane if she enjoyed wrapping Christmas presents too, I returned to my grayish blob. Defeat is not on the menu of our consummate chef. True to her teaching instincts, Pat refused to end our masterclass until we had all made at least one presentable canapé. Since most of us were best described as low achievers, this took a while. "Stop fishing around in the bowl, Pierre. It's rice paper, not goldfish. It's gone soggy now. Just take it out carefully." "Oh, right. Never mind, start again. I'm sure you'll crack it before we run out of supplies." "Ah, now that's a much better effort, Chloe. Although you might want to rethink your choice of mixing wasabi with mint leaves. Aside from that, you've done a lovely job." As we beavered away, David, who was observing, recognized the signs of culinary strain. He came to our rescue with wine, surreptitiously filling glasses throughout the session. It did a champion job. Our spirits rose, transforming frustrated groans into shrieks of laughter as we giggled at one another's efforts. By the time we'd finished, every trainee had specimens that passed muster. I was still struggling with my tendency to produce fat torpedoes and dye spindles, but they were deemed acceptable. Jane, however, could offend an army with her mountain of culinary beauties and accepted the constant teasing with good grace. "Well done, everyone," exclaimed Pat, "and now we're going to enjoy the results." His timing was uncanny. Dead on cue, Jack turned up as Pat reappeared with platters laden with our best efforts. As we sat enjoying our al fresco tapas, I reflect on how precious evenings like this in our little corner of France are. As you might guess, living here really is a dream come true. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the story, let me know and share it with your friends. Follow me at ChrisKKArya on Twitter or Chris K. Kepler on Facebook, or check out my website, www.chriskepler.com.